If it hasn't happened to you yet, it will. Eventually, somewhere down the road in your business, you are going to have a client that is unhappy about something. Now, whether that client stays unhappy or whether you can turn that situation around depends on a few things that you can do when it comes to your customer service strategy to make sure that as many people as possible are happy with your services. What is that strategy? What are the steps that you should take? Well, let's talk about it today on the Focal Points Podcast.
Welcome to Focal Points, an Enphoto podcast hosted by me, Dori Howell. This is the place to be if you want to ditch the overwhelm in your business and start creating a business that you love.
Well, welcome to Focal Points. I'm Dori. I'm so glad that you are here. And I thought I would take this time just to have a little chat between you and me. I've had a lot of guests on the podcast recently, and I thought I would just take this time and just sit down and chat with y'all and go over something that I've really been dealing with lately. I've been on the receiving end of an unhappy client or two, and I have also been an unhappy client. And it's really made me reflect on how these situations can be handled and how we, as most of us small business owners, really need to have a strategy when it comes to dealing with unhappy clients. And I thought I would share some of what I've learned in the past few months with you. Now, a few weeks ago, I did an episode with my friend Heather Lottinen about a client who was unhappy with my services. And I had a firsthand experience of what that is like. And like I said in the introduction, if you haven't had an unhappy client yet, don't worry, that day is coming. And sometimes it doesn't really matter whether they like the pictures, they don't like the pictures, they like the experience or whatever. Like, sometimes they're just unhappy because they're just unhappy people. And I talked a little bit about that in that episode, and we'll link back to that in the show notes so you can easily find it. But there are some people who are just not going to be happy. And then there are situations that make us all unhappy and frustrated. So I talked about my experience with that unhappy client in that previous podcast, but recently I had to do some dealings with some banks when it comes to my father's finances. And I don't know if I've shared this on the podcast before, but my mom passed away 3 years ago. I know I've shared that. But in that process, I inherited the job of handling all my father's finances. It was something that my mother always took care of. And my dad is to the point, he's 84 years old, where learning something new and as complicated as dealing with the family finances is a little bit of a challenge. Could he do it? Yes. But can I do it easier and faster and more efficiently? Absolutely. So I took over that role. And as part of taking over that role, I have to deal with the banks and the investments and the financial advisors and all the different things that handle his money, right? And so we had to go through the process of opening up a new bank account for him because he's doing some traveling and we wanted him to set aside some money for this traveling that in a way that he could take. If you travel, you kind of know how this works. Is it you don't necessarily want like the ATM card or the debit card that you might take on a trip to be attached to all your money, right? We wanted to carve out some money for some traveling that he's doing. So just in case he got pickpocketed, like he did get pickpocketed in Rome about a decade and a half ago. So we have firsthand experience knowing what a pain it is once you lose all your credit cards, everything, once you lose your wallet, like having to replace everything. We know that that's a pain. So we're trying to take some steps that if that does happen again, which hopefully it won't, staying in order, keeping everything moving, keeping all the bills paid and him being able to enjoy his vacation. So it's not that big of a deal, right? So we decided to go to the bank to open up an account. Now, I didn't know this, and I'm kind of out of the loop with banking transactions. I know you can open accounts online, but when you have someone who is used to dealing with things the old-fashioned way, like my dad, we actually like to go into the bank and speak to a representative. And so we walked into the bank, and never in a million years did I think I would hear the words, oh, we can't do that for you here. You have to do that online. Like literally at this big, huge chain bank that's worth billions of dollars, I cannot go in and say, I want to open an account. I want to give you business. I had to do that online. And they're like, oh, you can just do that on your phone right here. Now, I understand the convenience of that. I get it. But the fact that the tellers do not have that ability to open new accounts really kind of blew my mind. So that was one kind of frustration. So the person that we were dealing with helped us as much as we could in this transaction. And then I had to finish it up on the phone. Well, we didn't have to be in the bank if I was going to do this, you know, on the phone. So Dad, when we do business like this, we always go to lunch. So we went to lunch to this really nice place. We're sitting in the restaurant. We placed our order. And I said, okay, Dad, I'm going to call the bank and we're going to get this done. So I knew exactly what I needed to have done. I knew exactly the department that I needed to speak to. Dad was with me to give his verbal authorization, even though I do have legal authorization to work on his behalf with his money. Sending in all the paperwork to prove that is a pain. So it's a lot easier if I just do it with him in the room and he gets on the phone, gives his authorization, and goes back and forth. So we went through that. And because I knew who I needed to speak with, I just asked for that department. Just let me speak to that department. Well, the way online customer service programs work, they're not going to pass you off to another department until the first person kind of gatekeeps and decides if really you know what you're talking about and really if you need to be going in that direction. So for the first person, I had to give the identifying information that I had. Dad had to hop on the phone and give his identifying information, giving the authorization for them to speak to me. I get back on the phone, tell them the problem. They say, oh yeah, you're right. You need to go to another department. Great. I knew that, but that's okay. So then I get transferred to this other department. And once again, I tell them exactly who I need to speak with because that's not the department that I need to speak with. This is like the interim department, right? And the person on the line, they want to know the identifying information. So I tell them the situation and then they want to talk to Dad. Dad gives them the identifying information and then they come back to me and I have to explain the situation. And lo and behold, they weren't the person that I needed to speak with. They needed to transfer me to another department, which I knew before all this happened. So then for the third time I speak to someone, I explain the situation. They said, oh, well, can we speak to your dad? Yeah, you can talk to him right here. He gives his identifying information. Then they come back to me. I explain the situation again. And they say, oh yeah, you need to speak to one other department. We're not the right place. So then yet again, I go, I get on the line, they transfer me and they say, okay, what's the situation? I tell them the situation. That's great. Is your dad there to talk to you? Yeah, my dad's here to talk to you. Here's a phone. Dad gives them the identifying information, gives them the authorization to speak to me, comes back to me. I explain the situation. And yet again, I needed to speak to someone else. So we went through this process 5 times until we got to the right person to help us with what we were trying to do because we were getting an error on the app in setting up this bank account, right? So you can imagine that by then, my dad and I were just rolling our eyes across the table at each other. It was the most ridiculous thing ever. So we're speaking with this customer service rep who's trying to help me. And we get to the end of the conversation. They say, okay, well, you should be all ready to go now. And I said, okay, is there anything else I need to know or do before I let you get you off the phone? Because I don't want to go through that process again. I was pretty clear that that was very frustrating, right? I think we all would be frustrated at that. They said, no, you should be all set. So wouldn't you know, I was dumb enough to let them go. And then I tried to continue the process on my phone and I ran into another error and it said I needed to call customer service again. So I'm sitting there and I'm getting a little frustrated. I am not happy. My dad is not happy. We could have been easily having a nice conversation talking about travels and other things that you talk about with your dads. But no, I had to call the bank back. And wouldn't you know, the number that they gave me to call back was the same number I started with from the very beginning. I had to go through that whole process again. So all in all, in the blog post that I wrote about this, that if you're on my weekly email list, you may have already read this. I think I said I needed to go through this process 5 times, but when it was all said and done, it was more like 8. So when I finally got to the person that could actually help me and get this process, and I wasn't dumb enough to hang up the phone, I made them stay on the phone with me until we completed everything on my end. I was hot. I wasn't just mad. I was hot. I was feeling completely disrespected. I felt like they just disrespected my time and everything in this whole process just to open up a small little bank account for someone who already has business there. It was such an ordeal to go through this process. And it gave me a firsthand look of like, okay, what can we do better as small business owners about handling people who are unhappy? Those individual service reps that I spoke with on the phone couldn't do anything about the situation. And I did realize this. And when I finally I didn't lose my cool, but when I finally spoke more harshly than I normally would to the several customer service reps, I said, I know this is not your fault and you are just doing your job. Please understand, though, how frustrating this is for someone who is a client. And they acknowledged that, but we just kept going and we finally got it done. But what can we do as small business owners to make people feel like they're heard and validated when they are unhappy with something in our business? So I sat down and I said, Self, you know, I really want to share some of this information. So I wrote a blog about it and you can link to that in the show notes. But I thought I would come on and do this podcast. So how do we handle unhappy clients? How do we master this art? Because it is an art. And I think one thing that we really need to do, and I see photographers do this all the time, is that we take the things that they say personally. If they don't like the images, it's a personal attack. If they don't like the process, it's a personal attack. And I understand where we're coming from on that because we're the ones who set the processes. We're the ones who set the pricing. We're the ones creating the art. It's all very personal. But I think what we need to understand is that many times people come to us from situations that they're a little bit agitated anyway. Like I was irritated that I already gone through this process, then it didn't work and I had to call back. So by the time I got to that second group of customer service reps, I was a little bit irritated at the situation, right? Also understanding that many times clients are coming to us from situations that are not even related to the photography session, but we're the ones getting the brunt of it. So for example, on the way to a session, Dad finally asks his spouse, how much is this actually going to cost anyway? Knowing that they've bought new outfits, they've taken time out of their schedule, they've probably gotten fussed at, getting ready, hurried up, don't be late, all those types of things. And his spouse has not communicated to them how much this session costs. And she finally says, oh yeah, well, the packages start around $2,200, but I think when it's all said and done and I get what I want, it's probably going to cost about $4,000. Now, in most situations, that's going to be a shock to someone who wasn't expecting it to cost that much. So he gets upset. Now, he's not upset at you because of your pricing. He's upset at his spouse because they didn't discuss it ahead of time, and he would have appreciated a heads up walking into this situation. But guess who he's going to take it out on? He's going to take it out on you. Or what about the kids who are so bad and so they don't follow directions and they're running all over the place? Could it be that the reason that they're acting that way is because their parents basically threatened them within an inch of their life in the car before they even got there? And they're just not feeling wanting to behave right now? Or if you're doing a headshot session, could it be that the employee that comes in who's a little bit grumpy, who doesn't want to be there, is only there because their boss is telling them, isn't necessarily upset at you, but maybe they're upset at the fact that 10 minutes before coming into the conference room for their turn at the headshot session, they got a whole bunch of work dumped on their desk because it isn't really in their specific job description, but it's going to require them to stay late that night. And here they are frustrated because they have to take their time out for a picture that they really don't want to take anyway. Now, none of those three things, those three examples that I've listed really have anything to do with us as the photographer, but when people are in those situations, most likely we are the ones that are going to take the brunt of their frustration. It can be awkward and it can be painful. And people sometimes when they're in those situations will also come across much harder than they mean to. So in me telling you all of this, when you're dealing with your clients, my hope is that maybe you'll, instead of getting feeling like you're feeling personally attacked, is that you offer them a little bit of grace and realize that it's not always about you. Their emotional response to something is not always directly in response to something you did or said or how you run your business or what the images looked like. They could just be having a day. They could just be having a bad moment. But try and really keep all of that in mind when you're dealing with people who are a little bit grumpy with you because trust me, I was grumpy with those customer service reps and I did apologize for being short with them and being extremely frustrated. But like I said, hey, it happens and they couldn't control it, but they certainly got the brunt of my frustration that day. So try not to take it personally. That's step number one. And that's the most important thing. It isn't always personal. And another thing I just want to add to that is that in most cases, because it is a business transaction, they don't care enough about you to make it personal. They really don't. They are not your best friends. They are not, you're not a part of their family. They're hiring a service provider. So many times how they come across, it's not personally against you. It might be against something that you put in place or something that you did, but it's not necessarily against you because unfortunately, probably they don't care that much about you to make a personal insult or make you personally upset. It's just the situation in and of itself. So try not to take those things personally. The second thing is if they contact you with a complaint via text message, even I don't text message with clients except for day of session logistics, but if they text message you, if they DM you, or if they email you with a complaint or a problem, if you care about resolving it in an amicable way in order to save that relationship with them, and that's a big key right there because there's some clients that if they email you or they DM you a complaint or something, you don't want to salvage that relationship. So if that's the case, continue with email. But if you want to salvage that relationship, get them on the phone. Try not to go back and forth with them over electronic communication. I know some people say, oh no, I want it all in email so I have a record of what was said, what I said I would do, what was promised, all of that. And I understand wanting to have the paper trail. I really do. But try and get them on the phone first. You can follow up with a summary email. That's perfectly fine. I do that all the time when I have proposal calls or anything like that. Especially when people call for coaching, we'll have a conversation, then I'll follow up with an email and say, hey, here, reminder, here's what we discussed. I also do that when I was doing family sessions, when I was talking to the mom of a family unit, and I knew that she was going to have to take what I told her over the phone and try and sell it to dad, right? Or sell it to her partner. Because I was putting them in a situation of having to sell something, I always followed up in writing of this is what was discussed. So there is a paper trail, but putting a human connection of bringing your voice into the equation is super, super important. I know that those conversations, especially when you're dealing with someone who is unhappy, can be a bit painful. But here's the deal, and this is what I have found, is that the thing is that most people will come across much harder in the written word than either they mean to or they would in person, like over the phone. And if you get them on the phone, they can hear your tone, which is super important. They can see that you care. They can see that you want to resolve the situation. And that's really, really important. So with no context or tone, you really have no idea, first of all, how upset they are, because we all read into those emails, into those text messages, into those DMs. So if you get them on the phone, you can alleviate a lot of that. Also, there's something to be said with making them feel important to you if you're willing to spend the time to get on the phone. And that's what I get many, many times, especially just dealing with people who inquire. I try and call them back very, very quickly. And the fact that I've taken the time to actually pick up the phone, that has weight and value these days, and many people appreciate that. So the third thing I want to suggest that you let these people do is talk it out. Sometimes people just need to be listened to. We all feel better when you have a minute or two just to vent. Allow upset clients to do that. You don't automatically have to come in with a resolution right away. Let them say their piece. Many times after they've said their piece, they may say, I don't want to do anything in this situation. I just wanted to let you know. And the great thing about it is many times after you've let them say their piece, let them get it off their chest, they will probably even thank you, say, thank you for listening to me and thank you for letting me just get this out because it was really bothering me. You may not at that point in time even need to do anything. So all that time that you spent worrying about the phone call, coming up with solutions and all that type of thing may have been a waste of time. Just get them on the phone, see what happens. So before I give you the final two things about how to deal with an unhappy client, take a minute and listen to this message from our incredible sponsor, Enphoto.
All right, this seems like the perfect place for us to stop the conversation and remind you that if you have not signed up at Enphoto to get your 75% off a sample off their beautiful albums, you need to do that today. Enphoto creates beautiful handcrafted albums for your clients, and they're going to make you look great, and they're going to show your photos in a beautiful, beautiful way. If you have not signed up for that 75% off sample, you need to do that. To find the link, go to the show notes page, focalpointspodcast.com, and go ahead and sign up today.
So I say this all the time when I'm coaching with people who are dealing with unhappy clients with one reason or the other. Don't feel pushed into resolving a situation immediately, especially if you get them on the phone. Say you've given them a chance to air their feelings and vent and get it off their chest, and they're wanting a solution right away. It needs a solution. You guys need to come to an amicable agreement about how you're going to handle the situation moving forward. Don't feel pushed into resolving any issue immediately. And that's where a lot of times photographers have regrets, because they felt that pressure of like, oh my gosh, I need to resolve this right away and I need to offer something right away. So then you see things like, oh, I just gave them all the digitals because they wanted this, or oh, I gave them a big discount, or oh, I gave them something for free. Not really taking into consideration what you're offering, how much that's going to cost you, and whether that is an appropriate gift or amends for what they want. I'm not too sure if I just said that the right way, but I think you guys understand where I'm coming from on that. So get on the call, find out exactly what they want, and it is perfectly fine for you to say, thank you so much for sharing this information with me. You've given me a lot to think about. I want this to be resolved so that it makes sense for both of us, but I'm going to need a little time to do a little research. Can I get back to you on a certain day with how we can move forward? That is perfectly fine. You do not need to be a miracle worker and try and resolve it on the very first phone call or the very first touch point. Letting them know that you appreciate what they've shared, that you need a little time and you want to do a little research to find an amicable solution for both of you is completely fine. So here's the key though, is if you say that you're going to get back to them by a certain day, and I would say you're going to get back to them, put a time limit on it so they're not just out like, oh, does that mean they're going to give it back to me like by the end of the day, or they're going to give it back to me by the end of next week? Like, put a timeline on it. Make sure you honor that timeline. And if you don't have the solution worked out by the time that time is up, then let them know, hey, I'm still working on this. Please give me 24 more hours and I will be in contact with you. All right. Just keep that line of communication open so they know you haven't forgotten about them. That will go so, so far. All right. And the last thing comes back to my personal story that I had with the bank. Don't make people repeat their stories over and over and over and over, especially when knowing that that's a frustrating story that they're telling or that they are unhappy. It's one thing if you're asking them to like tell the great story over and over, but don't ask them to repeat why they're frustrated over and over. Get the details that you need to work out a solution, but don't keep going back and wanting it in writing, wanting them to tell you again, and every time you get on the phone, having them repeat themselves. That was the frustration for me with the bank, was the fact that I had to repeat that so many times just to get to the person who could actually fix the problem. I know in most of our small businesses, it's not going to be that way, because first of all, we don't have staff of thousands of people sitting on a phone line, you know, booking clients and helping them with their galleries and their products and all those types of things. Wouldn't that be nice if all of us did? But, you know, photography just doesn't work that way. But don't make them repeat their side of the situation over and over. It's really just going to make them upset. So just a quick review. When you're dealing with unhappy clients, number one, don't take it personally. Really, in most situations, it is not personal. And even if they're trying to say personal things against you to get under your skin, don't take the bait. Keep it professional, even keeled the whole entire time. Number two, if they contact you with concerns via text, email, or direct messages, DMs, try and get them on the phone, because you will come to a faster resolution that way by adding tone and context into the situation, into the conversation. It will be better. Number three, sometimes they just need to talk it out. Let them talk it out. Don't cut them off. Let them tell their story. Allow them to vent. It's okay if people are a little bit frustrated and upset. It really is okay. Let them get it out of their system. Then talk about a resolution to the problem. Number four, don't get pushed into resolving any issue immediately. It's okay if you need time. Honor the timelines that you tell them that you'll get back to them, but it's okay, especially if they start out the conversation. Say it's a wedding, they're like, yeah, well, we want our albums for free now. Or a portrait session, they will, well, because you missed this one shot, I want all the digitals for free now. Especially if they're coming back at you with things that are just like hard no's. You need time to absorb where they are, where you want to be, and find a middle ground that you can suggest easily. And if you don't have a lot of experience dealing with unhappy clients, which hopefully many of us, we don't, then you can take that time that you need. And then the fifth thing is, don't make them repeat their side over and over and over. It really is frustrating to everyone involved. They don't want to repeat it. You don't want to hear it. Keep the rehashing of the situation that's made them upset to a minimum, because that's not positive. You want to get back on positive ground with any client who is unhappy at any point in time. So dealing with unhappy clients is really just kind of part of our job, and nobody likes about it. And be honest with you, not enough people talk about it. And I want everyone to be able to know how to successfully deal with unhappy people and turn those situations into successful ones. Because I promise you, if someone has been unhappy with you, if you turn that situation and you've resolved it in a way that they're happy with, they can become your biggest, most supportive clients. Because sometimes it isn't always about making clients and having a process as good the entire time that they're with you. But sometimes how you're going to win clients over and over and over is how you handle things that come up. We had a construction situation in our home where the roofer put on a section of our roof wrong when we were doing an addition to our home, and a huge storm came through on the East Coast. And wouldn't you know, we were woken up in the middle of the night with water pouring into our basement storage room where all of, you know, all the stuff is, right? The stuff that really, if it got damaged and ruined, it wouldn't be that big a deal, but we don't want to deal with it. So we were woken up in the middle of the night. And to add insult to injury, we were leaving the next day at 6:30 in the morning on a flight to go to my 25th high school reunion. So we didn't have time to deal with all this. So we called the project manager, left messages, did what we could in the middle of the night, and we hopped on a plane and we left our home in the hands of the construction crew. And luckily, my mom was still alive at the time. She went over to the home that morning while the guys were working. The owner of the company came over to make sure that everything was being done as it should be. They cleaned my back room, which was a disaster to begin with. So bonus, right? They cleaned it for me. They got the roof on correctly. Everything ended up fine. And it could have been a situation where I really had a bad taste in my mouth the whole entire time, even to this day. Because they could have handled that really, really poorly. But the fact that they jumped on it, that everyone was there, that they treated my mom with respect, that they treated my home with respect, they fixed the problem without any question or anything like that. And they apologized over and over for what they did, knowing that it wasn't even the contractor's fault. It was the subcontractor's fault. But the contractor took responsibility for it and made sure that it was done right. I still will say kind words about that contractor, even though that was a very, very serious situation involving my home, right? So remember that it's not always about being right. It's not always about doing what you think you need to do. It's about working with clients who've been unhappy for one reason or the other. There's been a misunderstanding. Having them become raving fans because you handle the situation in a way that made them feel valued and heard. And that is what we want. So if you have horror stories with clients that went wrong, I would love to hear them. Reach out to me on Instagram. It's at the Dori Howell, D-O-R-I-E, and share some stories with me. I love these learning experiences that we have in our businesses. And even they can be so frustrating and so scary sometimes, but we always learn from them. So instead of taking them as frustrations or tragedies, we take them as lessons and we can move forward. So if you have those stories, I would love to hear them. Please reach out on the socials. I would love to connect with you. If you need help with your marketing plan, please go to the show notes page and look into my marketing breakthrough plan. We're having great, great success with photographers who are going through this plan, getting their marketing up and running, because so many photographers lack in this area and want marketing help. I'm here. I can help you. Check out the show notes page at focalpointspodcast.com. Thank you so much for listening today. I really do appreciate you spending a little bit of time with me, and have a great day, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening. This has been Focal Points, an InPhoto podcast hosted by Dori Howell. We hope you've enjoyed the show, and we will see you next time.